بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Between the chapter باب استحباب التبشير والتهنئة بالخير, the chapter on the desirability, the preferability of giving good news, glad tidings, and congratulating somebody upon something that is good. Some good news we get. For example, somebody has got a grandchild, so now the news comes to us. So in a matter of making a call or seeing the person, just congratulating the person, Mubarak to you, making dua for that child, how nice that person will feel. We get a news, somebody's son got married, nikah, or somebody is inviting us. So at that occasion now, it's good news that we got, we make dua for that person. Somebody's nephew, somebody's niece, somebody's brother, somebody's son, somebody's daughter completed hifz, such a Mubarak occasion, we make dua for that person. So all of these things are taught to us in our deen. These are simple ways, easy ways of getting the happiness of the people also, and getting the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without us even having to put our hand in our pocket and take out any money. We got the happiness of the person, and we got the happiness of Allah ta'ala. It just required a few kind words at the right occasion. So today's hadith, also a little bit of a long one, but it has many lessons for us in it, inshallah. So Ibn Shimasa, rahmatullah alayhi, narrates that we were with Amr, Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, whilst he was on his deathbed. He cried for a long time when his face turned towards the wall. His son said to him, "O my father, did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not give you such and such glad tidings? Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not give you such and such glad tidings?" He turned his face and said, "The best was prepared is the testimony that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger of Allah. I have passed through three stages in my life. I remember a time when there was no one greater, no one who had greater enmity for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than I had." Imagine a sahabi on his deathbed, he's mentioning these things. That there was no one, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu. So he's mentioning this, that he says that I remember a time when there was no one who would greater enmity for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than myself. I mean, that shows us that hidayat is written for someone, then nobody can prevent that hidayat from coming. And if hidayat is not written for anybody, he can even be the family of the Nabi. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want him to get hidayat, he won't get hidayat. So that Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, yeah, he's mentioning that he says that nobody had greater enmity for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam than I had. So now he's talking about three stages of his life. This is one stage. And then he said, "I desired nothing more than to have power over him so that I could kill him." Imagine what a thought in his mind. That if I had power over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I would have killed him. He said, "If I had died in that condition, I would have certainly been from the inhabitants of Jahannam. When Allah Ta'ala placed Islam in my heart, I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, 'Extend your right hand so that I may pledge allegiance to you.' He stretched out his right hand, but then I withdrew my hand." Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam stretched out his hand and he withdrew his hand. In other words, he wanted now to put some conditions to his bayat and his pledging allegiance. He wanted to put some conditions. So he said, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam, imagine what a condition this is. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stretched out his hand and he pulled his hand back. So he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "What is wrong, O Umar?" I replied, "I would like to make a condition." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "One condition would you like to make?" He said, "I replied that I be forgiven." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O Umar, do you not know that Islam wipes out all the sins committed before it, and that hijrat, immigration, wipes out all the sins committed before it, and hajj wipes out all the sins committed before it? There was none who I loved more than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and no one was more honorable in my sight than him. I could not even look at him in the eye due to the respect that I had for him. If I were asked to describe him, I would not be able to do so because I never looked at him in the eye. If I had passed away in that condition, I would have hoped to be amongst the inhabitants of Jannah." Imagine the three phases of his life he's talking about. The first phase, that enmity for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "I genuinely had the power, I would have killed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Next phase was, "I accepted Islam and I had so much of love and respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I didn't even look at him in the face." If somebody had to ask me to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's looks, I wouldn't be able to do it because of the respect I had for him. I did not even look at him in the face. How Allah Ta'ala changed the heart? Allah is the muqallibul qulub, that person that changes the hearts. Allah Ta'ala changed his heart from one condition of complete hatred to a condition of complete love and respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, if I had passed away in that condition, I would have hoped to be amongst the inhabitants of Jannah. Then we were assigned the responsibility. Now he's talking about the third phase of his life. He says, then we were assigned the responsibility of certain matters, and I do not know what my condition is regarding them. When I pass away, no wailing woman or fire should accompany me. When you bury me, ensure that you throw sand onto me gently and stand around my grave for as long as it takes to slaughter a camel and distribute its meat, so that I may be comforted by your presence and I may know what answers to give the angels of my Allah. So Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu is explaining that he accepted Islam. Number one is before. The first was before he accepted Islam. Then when he accepted Islam, and this third phase was when he was in a position as a governor. So he was in a position of the governor for Egypt of 10 years and 3 months. 4 years during the rule of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he was put in the governor. 4 years during the rule of Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu, he was the governor. And 2 years and 3 months during the rule of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he was the governor of Egypt. Anyway, look at his condition and look at the condition of the rulers of that time. That he's crying and he's wailing. He doesn't know what is my condition in this third phase. I was put as the ruler. Whether I would pass my examination in Akhirat or whether I would fail my examination, I don't know. That is the thing that is worrying me. Yet he was such a great Sahabi, posted to such a great position, but yet it was worrying him that did I pass my exam or did I not pass my exam? What is going to happen to me on the day of Qiyamah? So lesson for us to learn here is that we must also be wary, be careful, be concerned about our Akhirat. How are we going to fare in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's not such that we just see good days in this world, or we think that we are pious. Nobody should ever feel that he's pious. We should all be concerned what will happen to us on the day when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this concern is a good concern. It's not something that is bad. It's a concern that will help to guide a person, like a alignment of the vehicle is correct, that car will move straight. So a concern for Akhirat is something that will keep a person's alignment correct. All the time he'll be on the straight path moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillah.